Hello friends, it is good to be with you again. This is Harry Venton speaking, and once more it is my privilege on behalf of my colleagues of the Voice of Melody Victoria to welcome you to this time of Christian Radio Fellowship. We are pleased to present for your listening enjoyment another interesting and informative program of Times of Refreshing. We trust the music and the meditation we share with you from the Word of God, that it will be a timely word of encouragement and a blessing in your life today. Now musically, we open our program with a song entitled, Nearer the Cross.
Nearer the cross my heart can say, I am coming nearer. Nearer the cross from day to day, Jesus died, nearer the fountain's crimson tide, nearer my Savior's wounded side, I am coming nearer, I am coming Christian's mercy seat, I am coming nearer, feasting my soul on manna sweet, I am coming nearer, stronger in faith, more clear I see Jesus who gave himself for me. Nearer to him I still would be. Still I'm coming nearer. Still I'm coming nearer.
Reverence should subdue our souls when we pause to ponder the mysteries of the cross, for Calvary, where our Saviour died, is luminous with love and mercy. These two attributes of our loving God commingle in a voluntary substitutional act on the part of our blessed Saviour for us all, destitute of hope. It is at the cross where God forever settled the matter of satanic domination and sealed the doom of Satan, who so disastrously deceived the nations. At the same time, our Lord Jesus there provided a safe and secure refuge for faith-exercising people of all ages. The cross is more than a lighthouse for sinking souls. It is the lifeline for their salvation. The scriptures clearly teach us that our Lord Jesus was fully aware of the pathway he was to walk and the end to which he would come. In Luke 18, verses 31 and 33, we read that Jesus took unto himself the 12 disciples and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spit upon. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. Daily the Saviour could see the shadow of the cross over his pathway. His personal testimony, recorded in Luke chapter 2 and verse 49, speaking to his mother and Joseph when they found him after 3 days, he said, Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Other references also reveal that the cross was before him. John 4 and verse 34, Jesus said, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. John 9 and verse 4 says, I must work the works of him that sent me. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 31, Jesus draws our attention to 4 things that he must encounter in doing his Father's will. These 4 musts we will consider after our next recording. Text, Mark 8 and verse 31 says that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and by the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days right again. Here in this verse we have the four musts of the Saviour. The Son of Man must suffer. The Son of Man must be rejected. The Son of Man must be killed. And the Son of Man must rise again. Now let's consider the first. He must suffer. Hebrews 13 and verse 12 tells us where our Lord Jesus must suffer. He suffered without the gate. The place of execution was always outside the city gate, beyond the city walls. In John 19 and verse 16 we read that Pilate delivered Jesus to the people, and they took him and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. Golgotha was synonymous with criminals. This place, Golgotha, was the place for the good-for-nothings. Remember, friends, because of our sins, such an awful experience befell the blessed Son of God. In all of the 150 psalms, there are 11 messianic psalms. These psalms graphically portray how and what our Lord Jesus suffered. Isaiah 50 and verse 6 also records our Lord's physical sufferings. There we read, "I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting." Likewise, in Isaiah 53, we read of the sufferings of the perfect servant. As our Lord Jesus, in his body, fulfilled every prophetic word recorded of his sufferings, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 tells us, he endured it all. Now secondly, the disciples were told by their Lord that he must be rejected. It is true to say, the history of mankind is a history of rejection. It all began with Adam's choice to disregard the command of God. Then in Genesis chapter 11, we see the rejection acquired a new dimension at Babel, when that race of people established its aims and purpose without reference to the Lord. He was given no place in their affairs. Later, when God established through Abraham the nation of Israel, whom God had chosen as his earthly people, repeatedly they failed to honour him and rejected his pleadings and messages. Finally, God sent his Son, and men rejected him. For our Lord Jesus, this was a deep and piercing sorrow. Psalm 69 and verse 8, one of the messianic psalms, says, "I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children." He came unto his own received him not. John 1 and verse 11. He must be rejected. The Bible says he was led out of the city and went to a place of shame. He went bearing his cross. John 19 and verse 17. Now let us never forget, he went in our room instead. This leading out of the city was not an organized march. It was characterized by excited enmity. The King Eternal, God Incarnate, was led by wicked men to a point of shameful indignity, and in company of condemned criminals. The rejected Christ was the object of derision. Matthew 27 and verse 39 says, "They that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads." It is important to note the gesture of rejection. They were passing by the only door to heaven. For it was Jesus who said, "I am the door. By me if any man enter in, he shall be saved." John 10 and verse 9. They were passing by the only Saviour, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4 and verse 12. They were passing to their eternal doom. The story is told of Babe Ruth, the American of baseball fame. When he died, 105,000 people passed by the casket to pay their respects. When our Lord Jesus was rejected, this uncounted number passed by the cross of Christ to show their disrespect. Yes, our Lord Jesus must suffer. He must be rejected. The remaining two musts in our text we will consider after our next recording.
'Twas God's own Son who came to earth, who chose to know a lowly birth. But though a king of matchless worth, he wore a crown of thorns.
I once passed a wayside pulpit on one of our busy arterial roads. This is what I read. The babe of Bethlehem was born to die. How true. It was an absolute necessity for Christ to die. He announced to his disciples again and again that he would be delivered into the hands of wicked men and be killed. We are reminded in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3 that Christ's death was according to the Scriptures. It was the divine plan, the eternal purpose, that Jesus Christ should come into the world and give his life a ransom for all men. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 6. The cause for which he came into the world was that he might bear the wrath which our sins deserve. The law demands death as the penalty for sin, and the sinner must die unless someone voluntarily takes his place, and that substitute must be without spot and blemish. Such was our Lord Jesus Christ. Declared by John the Baptist to be the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, Jesus said to his disciples that he would die. In the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit has placed it on record that Christ's death was on behalf of others. Listen to these words from the Bible. Galatians 1 and verse 4, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God, our Father. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all. And Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He must die, that he might reconcile us to God. We read in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 19 that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. He must die, so as to be the mediator between God and men. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He must die in order to destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil. Hebrews 2 and verse 14. He must die to open the door for lost sinners to be saved. My listening friends, let me tell you, there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open so all may go in. At Calvary's cross is where we begin when we come as a sinner to Jesus. Finally, he must rise. In our text, Jesus said to his disciples that he would rise again. Robert Lowry, author of the sacred song, Lo in the Grave, he penned the following words to its last stanza. Death cannot keep its prey, Jesus my Lord. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. Listeners, no enemy could thwart the purpose of God in raising Christ from among the dead. The Apostle Peter reminds us in Acts chapter 2 and verse 24 that God raised up his Son, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For your interest and meditation, I have listed a few of the many reasons why our Lord's resurrection was a vital necessity. Firstly, that the prophetic words of Scripture might be fulfilled. In verse 10 of Psalm 16, one of the messianic psalms, it says, For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou permit thine Holy One to see corruption. Secondly, he must rise to honour his promise to his disciples in John 14 and verse 3. Remember his words to them? If I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Thirdly, his resurrection is proof of his being the Son of God. Psalm 2 and verse 7. Fourthly, he must rise in resurrection for the forgiveness of sins. The Apostle Paul declared in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 17, If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Fifthly, Christ's resurrection was necessary for our justification. Romans 4 and verse 25 says, He was delivered for our offences and was raised for our justification. And lastly, for the sake of time, he must rise to make effective the hope of every born-again believer. We who know Christ as Saviour have a glorious hope. Those in Christ have been begotten to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 21. But the unsaved have no hope. They have nothing to look forward to but a fearful judgment, which will be administered by Him whom God has raised from among the dead, even our Lord Jesus Christ.
In the resurrection morning, when the trump of God shall sound, we shall rise, angels will rise. Then the saint will come rejoicing, and no tear will there be found. We shall rise, angels will rise. We shall rise. We shall rise. Morning, blessed thought it is to me. We shall rise, and yes, we'll rise. I shall see my blessed Savior, who so freely died for me. We shall rise, and yes, we'll rise. We shall rise.
As we have briefly considered four musts in our Saviour's life, there is one further must to mention. It is the must of the sinner. In John chapter 3 and verse 7, Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again." Without the new birth experience, no person will ever enter the kingdom of God. Faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour will give you the assurance of being one in God's great family. Remember, ye must be born again. Now in closing, we remind listeners of our free cassette offer. Today's program, number 1006, has been recorded on cassette and is available free and postage paid. You may obtain your free copy by addressing your request to Times of Refreshing, Post Office Box 66, Lilydale, 3140. When writing, please mention this number, 1006, program number 1006. And the mailing address again is Times of Refreshing, Post Office Box 66, Lilydale, 3140. This broadcast has been a radio missionary outreach of the Christian Brethren Assemblies of Victoria and is made possible by God's provision through His people. We thank you, friends, for your company today. Until next we meet, this is Harry Venton wishing you God's richest blessing. Goodbye for now, and remember, keep looking up.